I want to share on waiting on God. From time to time, we're all waiting for something to happen. In life, we are either waiting on a solution, we're waiting for a deal to go through, we're waiting on a diagnosis, we're waiting on a relationship, we're waiting for a breakthrough, we're waiting on vindication, we're waiting on rescue. We all, from time to time, had to wait for something to happen. Some of us here today are even waiting right now. Maybe there's something that you are waiting for as you are here today. Maybe you are waiting for that diagnosis to come. Maybe you are waiting for that breakthrough. Maybe you are waiting for a vindication, a rescue. Maybe you are waiting for something to come to pass. But we've all been there. And if you are going through a process of waiting for something to happen, I really believe God has a word for us here today. Maybe you have a dream. A dream that God has placed on your heart, and you are waiting to see that dream materialize. Maybe you're surrounded by circumstances and you've done everything that you can in the natural to get out of this situation that you find yourself. Maybe the pressure, maybe the reality, maybe these things pressing on you heavenly, and you have done everything that you possibly can in the natural. And the only thing left for you at this point, after you've tried everything, you've exhausted all your strength, your ability, your wisdom, all the resources, everything within your capacity, you've tried everything that you possibly could, and the only thing that is left is to surrender the circumstances to God. Is to come to God and say, God, I want to give this to you, Lord, because I can no longer do. And Lord, I am now waiting on you. I'm trusting in you, God, because I no longer can. Maybe you are here today. All that you have left is to surrender the circumstances in yourself to God. Or maybe you've been accused of something you did not do. Or maybe you've been wronged and you are waiting for vindication. You are waiting to be rescued. Sometimes we are accused of stuff that we didn't do, and within ourselves we have this need to be vindicated, and we try so hard to rectify the accusation, and sometimes we have been wronged, and we've been hurt, and we're in this position that we are powerless to save ourselves from the hurt and the pain that was caused by others, and the only thing that we can do is to wait for someone to rescue us. Maybe you've come to a place where you have tried everything, you've done everything, and you have come to your end. Where do you go when you have nowhere left to go? I want us to turn to Micah chapter 7, verse 7. And it's such a powerful verse that speaks of this place. Where to go when you have nowhere to go? Who to turn to when all the options are exhausted? In Micah 7 verse 7 it says, "But as for me, I will expectantly look," or "I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, for my God will hear me." I mean, what a powerful verse. "But as for me, I will watch expectantly." I will watch expectantly for the Lord. "And I will wait for the God of my salvation," the one who saves me. "My God will hear me." It reminds me of Hannah, the mother of the great prophet Samuel. Who of you know who Hannah was? Who have you heard of Hannah before? It reminds me of Hannah, this awesome woman of faith. She was barren. She could have no children. Her husband, Elkanah, had two wives. But Elkanah loved Hannah more than the second wife. But the problem was, the second wife had all the daughters and the sons. And Hannah was barren. Hannah had no children, and in that time and in that culture, it was a great shame to be barren. Your pride was your ability to produce children as a woman. So, even though Hannah was loved by her husband more than the second wife, she had no children. And Hannah was provoked, ridiculed, and hurt by the second wife for this very fact. For the fact that even though our husband may love you more, you have no children. You have no legacy that you can leave him. You are barren. You are despised. Your worth is little. You see, Hannah may have been loved by Elkanah, but it was the second wife that had the sons and the daughters. Hannah had a diagnosis. She was barren. She could have no children, and after she's tried everything that she possibly could, she had nowhere else to go. She's tried everything. And then she turned to God. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Before I continue to read the story of the two wives, the one's name was Hannah. Who of you know who was the second wife's name? I mean, this is the wife that had the sons and the daughters. This is the wife that had significance. This is the wife that had honor in the society. This is the wife that had everything. Why don't we know her name? There's somebody that knows her name. Peninnah. I just want to declare to you that maybe in this process of waiting for your breakthrough, you may think you are insignificant. But Hannah is significant because despite the circumstances, despite the insignificance, despite the diagnosis, despite the fact that she had nowhere else to go, something happened. She turned to God. And God, her salvation, heard her cry. And even to this very day, we are still speaking of Hannah, the barren woman, the insignificant one, the ridiculed one, the one that for years had nothing. We still remember it to this very day. So I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you are waiting for a breakthrough, you're going through a struggle and you have tried everything and you think that you are insignificant because nothing is happening, I want to declare to you that is a lie. That is a lie. You're not insignificant because you have a lack, because you have a need, because you need breakthrough. You're not insignificant because you are struggling and nothing seems to work. That does not make you insignificant. But what makes you significant is who do you turn to in that moment of despair, in that moment of helplessness. The one that you turn to is the one that will determine your significance. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, for my God will hear me. Here in 1 Samuel verse 1, we read the following of Elkanah. He had two wives. The name of the one wife was Hannah and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from the city to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, please don't name your sons that, they were the priests of the Lord. And on the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all his sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her because the Lord had closed the womb. And so it went on year by year for a long time. And as often as they went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And her husband said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? And then after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose, and Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. And as she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be drunken. See, again, she was accused of something she didn't do. And Eli said to her, how long will you go on being drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered, no, my Lord. I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation. Then Eli answered, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition that you may have what you have asked him. And she said, let your servant find favor in your eyes. The woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Why was her face no longer sad? But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. And she called his name Samuel. For she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. What a beautiful story of a woman that was desperate in a diagnosis. She was desperate in the persecution. She was desperate in the pain. She was desperate in the circumstances. And she did everything that she possibly could. And after years of trying and nothing worked, she turned to God. And in due time, a prayer was answered. A son was born because he turned to God. Year after year, Hannah had nowhere to turn, but when she turned to God, in due time she conceived. It's so powerful, this word, in due time. It's the word that we know so well. That kairos, so many people speak of that. The kairos moment in Greek. It's the proper time. At a proper time, God sent the breakthrough. At a proper time, after all the waiting, something changed, something happened. It makes me think of this term that we read in the New Testament also. In the fullness of time, again just speaking of that Greek word kairos, at the right time, the proper time, God's breakthrough came. God's deliverance came. God's salvation came. God's healing came. God's provision came at the right time, at a specific time. In Galatians 4 verse 4 we read, but when the fullness of time had come, At the right time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. You know what is so amazing about the proper time, the right time, whenever you read about it in Scripture, this Kairos moment, and you've heard so many sermons about it. I don't want to talk about the Kairos time this morning. I want to talk about the time before the Kairos time. Because whenever the Kairos time arrived, there was a waiting that preceded the proper time. There was this time before the proper time that we sometimes so struggle with. It is the waiting. Every time there was something significant, every time the Kairos moment appeared, there was first a waiting that preceded that moment. In the fullness of time. I mean, it speaks here of the fact when God sent His Son, and you know, so many times we miss that. But if you turn, if you've got your Bibles here, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And if you find Matthew chapter 1, I want you to turn one page back. You get to the book of Malachi. Now, if you find the last verse in Malachi, I want you to turn the page back to Matthew. How long did that take you? 1 second. We sometimes forget that in between Malachi and Matthew, there was 400 years of silence. 400 years of no prophetic utterance. No prophet, no angel, no vision. For 400 years there was silence. For 400 years there was a waiting. And then suddenly, on a bright, still, star-filled night, the angels appeared to the shepherds. With great song and exclamation, a son is born. The Savior of the world has come. Sometimes we forget about the waiting that took place before the proper time. There was a long wait, but at the right time, at the fullness of time, at the Kairos moment, a son was born. At the right time, the salvation of humanity came into this world. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Maybe God has given you a promise. Maybe that promise has been in your heart for many years. I want to encourage you this morning, if that is you, this is for you this morning, this portion. In Habakkuk 2 verse 2, it says, "And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits an appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. If it seems slow to you, wait for it. It will suddenly come. It will not delay. Because at the proper time, at the right time, it will come to pass. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." It's so powerful, this word wait in Hebrew, yakal. It literally means to wait, to hope, to trust, to expect, to be patient, to remain in anticipation. You know, so many times I was looking for an image of somebody waiting, and all the pictures that I found was this passive position of sitting on a bench, on a log, on the floor, waiting. But this Hebrew word of waiting is not passive, it's active. It literally means hope, trust, anticipation. As a matter of fact, this word appears 38 times in the New Testament. And the first time it appears in the New Testament is when Noah was in the boat, in the ark. And it hit the mountain. And Noah opened the window and sent out a dove. Remember, he sent out a dove. And then what happened? The dove came back. And then Noah waited 7 days. With faith, with trust, with hope, with anticipation. And then he let that dove go again. And then we know the story when that dove came back with the olive twig. Noah knew. It is time. God's promise is fulfilled. God's promise is fulfilled. It's amazing to see that this word, Yakal, is translated often in the Old Testament in English. It's not translated just in the word wait. It's so often translated in the word hope. Hope in the Lord. It's the same word as wait in the Lord. Hope on God, wait on God. It's the same word that is used often over and over in the Old Testament. So the correct way to hope and to wait for God is to be steadfastly expectant of His mercy. It is an expectant trust and an expectant hope that God is my salvation. That God does hear me. That God will act. That He will come through. For He is the one in whom I put my trust. It is not a point of despair, but a point of anticipation when we wait on God. Maybe you've asked God for something and nothing has happened immediately. And you are still waiting. I want to encourage you this morning, don't be passive in your waiting, but be expectant. Be hopeful. Put your trust in God. Waiting on God is not passive, but it is active faith. It is trust in God. It is putting our hope in God. It is surrendering to God's will and God's timing. And that is so difficult for us as humans when we are trapped in this temporal dimension where we see beginning and end. And God looks at us from an eternal perspective which has no end and has no beginning forever and ever. And we struggle when God speaks and we have to wait. We struggle to wait. God doesn't wait. He lives in the eternal presence. It makes no difference to Him, for He sees eternity. And we struggle with this thing of waiting. But you know what is so powerful on waiting on God is we are saying, God, I choose to surrender my will to Your will. I choose to surrender my timing to Your timing. It's not just, God, I'm going to sit here and wait till You finally do something. No, it is, God, I choose to surrender my understanding, my wisdom, my expectation. Lord, I choose to surrender it to Yours. God, I want Your will. I want Your timing in my life. When we wait on God, we choose to humble ourselves before Him and say, God, not my way, but Your way. Not my will be done, but Your will be done. God, not in my timing, but in Your timing. God, I come to You. It is surrendering to Him, and it is not taking matters into our own hands. Ask Abram. God gave him a promise. And Abram waited. And he waited. And then he started to think. He started to reason with himself. Well, maybe God is not able to give me a son through my wife Sarah. I know she is old, but I know what God has said about a son to be born. But I've waited so long and still I see no son from this old woman. Maybe God meant something else. Maybe I must help God. Maybe he didn't understand what happens to a woman when she gets old. Maybe he doesn't understand the circumstances that I live in. Maybe I must help God to get his word to materialize in my life. Maybe I must take a young wife. Oh, we know what happened. We know the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. It's so difficult to wait. But what makes it so difficult is that we need to surrender. We need to surrender our understanding and our will to his understanding, to his will, and his timing, not our timing. And I must add here some fine print. I must just add some fine print here. It's almost like off the record, but it's very important. No, it's on the record, but it's very important. It's the fine print. There is a difference between God's word and yours. So many times people come to me with a presumption. It is their will and not God's will, and they're waiting for their will to be accomplished. And they call it God's will. Make sure that when you wait, that you're waiting on God's word, not on your own word. So many people wait so long for something that God did never speak. But that's just a fine print. But I want to declare to you, if God did speak to you, wait for it. Though it lingers, though it may take time, it will come to pass. If God has spoken to you, if God has given you a dream, and it hasn't come to pass yet, I don't care how old you are, do not give up. Keep on waiting. With hope, trust, expectation. Wait on God. Wait on God. It is not putting our trust in our own ability or our own understanding or our own trust. It is actually humbling ourselves before God where we say, God, I surrender, I submit myself to your way. God, I need breakthrough. God, I need help. God, I need deliverance. God, I need this. I need vindication. I need a rescue, God. I need you to come and help me, God. But I surrender myself, my understanding, my will, my strength to your will, to your understanding, God. I humble myself before you, God. And I say, God, I need your help. But God, I want you to help me. Your way. Your timing. That is what waiting on the Lord means. It's not a passive disillusioned, surrendered to fate. But it is a hopeful expectation that the God who saves is my Savior. The God who hears is my God. And He hears me. And I will put my trust in Him. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 11, we read the following. And this is so powerful when it comes to this. Humbling ourselves to God's will, to His time. And his way. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the hand of God, that he may lift you up in due time. We see that all again. That Kairos time. Humble yourself under the hand of God. In other words, you surrender yourself to God, that he may lift you up. Not you lift yourself up. You don't make the plan. You don't come with the idea to get the young wife or whatever it might be, but you surrender yourself to God's hands, to God's will, to God's power, so that He is the one that will lift you up in the right time. And because you're willing to humble yourself, to trust God, to surrender yourself to Him and His power and His will and His timing, He is the one that not only lifts you up, He will lift you up in the right time. He will lift you up. And then it continues and it says so powerfully, it says, cast all your anxiety on Him. Why? That was last Sunday when Stoffel preached. Because He loves you. Because He cares for you. So God is saying, humble yourself under My hand so that I can lift you up in the right time. Therefore, bring all your fears, all your anxiety, all the stuff that weighs you down, bring it to Me. It says it so powerfully. So many times, I've learned this in my own life. We need vindication. Someone has accused you of something you didn't do. And within ourselves, we know we have the sleepless nights when we go through our minds, how are we going to rectify it? What are we going to say? How is the opportunity going to play out? What are the words that I'm going to use? And how is He going to respond? And how am I going to respond? And we're thinking about ways how we can rectify this accusation or this wrong. And we are awake at night. And then God says, hand it over. Hand it over. Let it go. Not let it go, forget about it. No, give it to Me. It's like vindication is something that we try to do and then we hold on to it. But then God says, let it go, give it to Me. Because if you give it to Me, I can do it. And there's something sweet about doing that when you hand over to God. Immediately when you hand over to God, you know what happens in your heart? You have peace. You sleep at night. You no longer think about how and when and where. No, you've given it to God. And you know what makes it even sweeter? Then God comes and He lifts you up in the right time. When you did nothing. That's what David speaks about when he says, and the Lord prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head and my cup. Runs over. Why? Because I have surrendered my life to Him. Bring your circumstances, your needs, your fears, your anxiety. Bring it to Him. It says, cast your anxiety on Him. You know, it's such a powerful image. All the stuff that we are afraid of. All the stuff that wears us down, all the fear, all the circumstances, all the vindication, all the diagnosis, all the sickness, all the things that wears us down in life that comes to the point where this just gets too heavy. And we've all been there before. Where circumstances and accusations and all these things wears us down to the point where we become weak, our feet become to slip under us as if we're going through the murky clay and we are losing grip and everything is bearing down on us and it's just getting too much to bear. And then God says, bring it to Me and cast it on Me. Don't you carry it. Cast it on Me. Put it on Me. Give your load to Me. Bring it to Me. God is saying, cast all, say all, anxiety on Me. God says, bring your fears. Bring the weight that you carry and cast it on Me. Why shall we do that? Why shall we cast it on Him? Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. Because He cares for you. Because He loves you. And He cares for you. He has a concern for your life. So He says, bring Me your concerns because I am concerned about you. Bring it to Me. Humble yourself and bring it to Me and I will lift you up at the proper time. But wait for Me. Trust Me. Put your hope in Me. Have an expectation in Me. Listen to David. He was the anointed king by Samuel. Hannah's son. By the way, Hannah had more sons and more daughters. Samuel was just the first one. But Samuel anointed a young man called David. And the king persecuted him because of the favor of God on his life. Saul tried to kill him, and David had to run for his life, even though the kingdom had passed from Saul, even though God took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David. Saul persecuted David, and David had to flee. I never could understand this. God, if you took the kingdom away from Saul and you gave it to David, why did you leave Saul to reign for another 15 years? For 15 years, David had to flee for his life. He was a fugitive. And Saul persecuted, Saul pursued. Saul was determined to kill David. David had nowhere to go. So many times trapped in a cave somewhere. You know what David did? When he had nowhere left to go, he would turn to God. Listen to David, Psalm 26, 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes? They stumble and fell. Though an army may camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also on me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, when everyone forsakes me, even my mother and my father, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witness have risen against me, and such as breathe out of violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. This is the summary. I love David. He always summarizes at the end. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say. Wait on the Lord. Isn't that tough? Waiting on God is not just passive, but active faith. It is trust in God, hope in Him. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And I will trust Him. And I will wait for Him. I will humble myself under His hand, and He will lift me up in due time. And now that we understand what the waiting means, what the biblical view of waiting on God means, that expectant, active faith, I want you to listen to these last two scriptures, and I'm going to conclude with this. The one is Psalm 40, David saying, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me, and He heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Maybe you are in a pit. Out of the miry bog, maybe your feet are slipping under you. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, the wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than many can be told. Maybe you are in a pit of destruction. Maybe you feel as if you're in this pit that you cannot get out. Maybe you feel as if your feet are slipping under you under the pressure of the circumstances and the realities around you. Maybe you find that you need rescue, salvation, breakthrough, deliverance, healing. I don't know what it is that you are waiting for, but I want to encourage you today, wait on God. Turn to Him. Bring your anxieties and your fears and your circumstances to Him. Cast it on Him. Humble yourself under His hand. When you have done everything that you can, when you've done everything that you can in the natural, turn to God. After you've done everything that you can, turn to God. Then I want to close with a scripture that we all know. In Isaiah chapter 40. But those who wait on the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You that today we can come to You with our burdens, with our fears, with our anxieties, with our circumstances, with our situations, with our diagnosis, with our heartaches, with our longings, with our cries and our tears, with the wrongs and the accusations. Now thank You that today we can come to You with all these things that we are carrying with us, Lord. And we can turn to You and we can cast it upon You. And we can humble ourselves and say, God, we trust in You. We choose to trust in You, not in man, not in horses, not in chariots, but in You, God. Father, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You, God, that today, Lord, You are calling us to make an exchange. You want us to exchange our anxieties for Your peace. And if you are here today and And you can identify with the circumstances and the situations and the diagnosis and the accusations and the fears and the things that are wearing you down. Maybe you are here this morning and you are struggling under the weight of your circumstances and your situation. Maybe you have tried everything that you can and this weight keeps weighing you down. It keeps you awake at night. If that is you, I just want to respond to God. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I need your weight. I need your hand upon my life. If that is you, just respond to Him. Just raise your hand. Say, God, here I am, Lord. I'm struggling in this weight upon me, Lord. I'm struggling in the circumstances, Lord. I'm struggling with this fear. You can drop your hands. Thank you. And it's starting to wear you down. If you're in a position where you can feel where circumstances and pressure is starting to wear you down, you're trying everything that you can, I really believe God wants you to bring an exchange, to make an exchange. Maybe you're here today and you have tried everything. You've tried everything in your life and you have nowhere left to go. But I want to make a specific call here. Maybe you're here today and you have tried everything that you know, but you have not yet turned to God. I want to give you an opportunity today, because today is the proper time. It's the right time. It's the Kairos moment. It's the fullness of time. Today God is speaking to you if you've never surrendered your life to God. Today is a good day. It's the right day. If you know you need to turn to God today, I want to give you an opportunity also right now, just where you're seated, just to respond to God and say, God, here I am, Lord. I've tried everything, but today I choose to respond to your call, to your invitation, to surrender my life to you. And if that is you, I just want you to also just raise your hand if you're here. If that is you, just respond to God. For some of us here today, it's a point of God is telling you that you have tried everything in your own strength. You've tried to pursue the world. You've tried to pursue fame. You've tried to pursue entertainment. You've tried to pursue alcohol. You've tried to pursue drugs. I don't know who you are, but you've tried everything else and God is calling you back to Him. If that is you, I also just want you to respond by just raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. Then I want to ask, for those that are here today and you are in a waiting process, you're already in the waiting process and you're struggling to wait. Maybe you're like Abraham, maybe you're at the point where you're saying, it doesn't make sense to wait so long. And your hope is fading. If that is you, I just want you to respond to God also. Say, God, here I am. My hope is fading. You can drop this. My hope is fading. If that is you this morning, I really believe that God wants you to do something powerful. And He wants you to bring your anxiety. He wants to bring your fear. He wants you to bring your circumstances. He wants to bring the things that you have put your faith in. He wants you to bring it to Him. So I want to ask you to do something bold. And I want you to come forward. But I want you to come forward with your fears. I want you to come forward with your circumstances. I want you to come forward with the thing that wears you down. I want you to come forward with your faith. I want you to come forward with your waiting. I want you to come forward and we're going to pray with you, but we're going to facilitate an exchange between you and God. It's all that we're going to do. So I want you to do something powerful. I want you to come with your circumstances. Come with your fears. Come with your pressure. Come with your need to be vindicated. Come with your need to be rescued. Come with your need to be healed. Whatever it is, I want you to come. If you've raised your hand or you haven't raised your hand, but you know that I'm talking to you. You know that the Spirit is tugging at your heart. I want you to come forward.
We're going to pray, but come with your fear. Come with your circumstances. Come with your waiting. Come with it. Bring it to God.
Now is the time to trust and to wait on God. Bring it to Him. I want to give an opportunity for people to come. And ask some of the facilitators to also help.
Don't be afraid. Don't look to the person to the left or your right. It's nothing to do with who's coming and who isn't coming. It's all about you and God giving you an opportunity to bring.
Don't leave it for this afternoon. It's not going to happen. I know. Bring it now. Bring your fear. Bring your circumstances. And we're going to trust God to do something in your life. Something is going to happen here when you bring it to Him. This is powerful. This is your faith in action. This is you bringing your trust to God, your hope in Him.
While you are seated, for those of you, please pray. And I want you just to respond in your own hearts. I want you to ask God, how does this word apply to your life? And I want you to respond to that. Even if it's simply a declaration that's saying that, God, I am going to put my trust, my hope in You. I'm going to wait on You. God, I'm going to surrender my life to Your power, to Your understanding, to Your timing. God, I want to surrender my life to that. God, I want to humble myself. So if you're not yet in front, I want you just to respond to God's word in your own heart, in your own time, in your own words, just where you're seated. Just bring your life to God and commit it to His hand so that He may lift you up, so that He may strengthen you. Amen.